Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Nice to have you along on today's program. I'm Neil Stavem, and welcome to Connecting Faith here in the Faith Radio Network all across the Upper Midwest. We're enjoying that Pacific airflow, huh, Ted?
Oh, I'm ready to get the grill out, I think, yeah.
You got your short-sleeve shirt on.
I did, I pulled it out. Still got the sweater going. That's okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of, you know, I'm doing the... Yeah, I didn't have the slippers though, right?
So yeah, it's the Mr. Rogers feel.
Sure,
I like it.
It is,
looks...
Yeah. I have actually, you know, these our discussion today might help. You know, it'll help you because you have preteens.
Oh yes,
yeah. So
13 and 12.
Yeah, so we'll get your perspective, and then of course I have grandchildren. So and there's had a few questions come up already, and we're going to get hopefully some answers. To your kids or grandchildren's toughest questions, or maybe they're your questions as well. That's the title of the book that we're going to talk about today, Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. The subtitle is Helping Them Understand Loss, Sin, Tragedies, and Other Hard Topics. And with us to help us do that is Jessica Thompson. Jessica and her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, have co-written this great book. Came out it's a year or so ago, I think, from Bethany House. By the way, I do have a copy we're going to give away at the end of the hour. So as you hear the conversation, you'll likely want to be a part of signing up for that because you'll find some great practical help there and just a good insight. Jessica grew up in Southern California, the second child, so I don't know if that raises some questions right there. I can relate being that middle child. And when, after graduation, she completed a bachelor's degree in theology and got married, and they have three children, and she's kind of gotten the writing bug, I think. And, in fact, I got a new book coming out next month, and we'll talk about that in a bit as well. But she speaks at women's conferences and homeschooling conferences and has co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. I think maybe that's the last time we talked with Jessica and Elise. So, Jessica, welcome back to Connecting Faith. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Neil. I'm happy to be back on with you guys.
And we're excited to get all the answers to the tough questions. So, and I'm not. You have the cue cards ready, so we're just going to throw them right at you. So, no. This is maybe just a little background about, you know, if this book came out of maybe some of your childhood, or was it just conversations around the dinner table? How did it develop? Say, you know, we need to address this.
Yeah, I can tell you, I remember back when I was a teenager, and I'd come home from a movie, and my mom was sitting on the stairs waiting for me, which, I mean, at that point in my life, felt like it was never a good thing.
Yeah.
And I walked in, and she said something to me like, so, you know, tell me about the movie, and, you know, I wanted to go do my own thing, so I just brief overview. And then she asked a question like, what was the worldview of the movie? What were they trying to teach you? And I, out of exasperation and anger, said something like, not everything means something, Mom. And I find it very ironic now that we have co-authored this book together to try and figure out how to answer these questions that kids have, that my kids have had, that most children do have. You know, honestly, I've had a lot of these conversations with my kids, and I've talked to a lot of friends that have, and we had a friend come to us and say, how do we, and this is how the book sort of had its genesis. A friend came and just said, how do we talk to our kids about these things without fear? How do we talk to them without trying to manipulate them into believing what we believe? How do we share the gospel with them while talking through these really difficult questions?
You know, you're writing, you and your mom have written, of course, together and talk mm-hmm. frequently about just issues of grace and really understanding mm-hmm. that. But is there a sense, kind of as you read the book, you go, wow, this is, it sort of feels, you know, like are we making the question, the answers more complicated than they have to? I mean, is it true that not everything means something? I mean, maybe is there just a simple answer sometimes?
Right. And, you know... Again, here's what I'm going to be saying over and over again throughout this interview. Every child is different, and every child's personality is different, and how every child learns is different. So even in my own household, how I may talk to one of my children isn't going to work for how I talk to another one. So there's an importance of knowing your kids. So yeah, there might be a really simple answer for one of your children, that it might just need to be a couple words, not a big deal. And for another child who maybe is more inquisitive and who has follow-up questions, then you might have to go more in-depth. So you need to know your child. That's like number one thing here. Have a relationship with your child where communication is open and you know them.
Are these questions, maybe before we jump into them, are they all sort of kid-tested and mother-approved? Do they all come out of real experiences?
Yeah. Actually, this book was really difficult to write because these aren't really things that I wanted to think about. And I did the majority of the writing on this book and then, again, ironically sent it to my mom to have her look over and tighten up what needed to be tightened and change what needed to be changed. So, yes, I talked to my kids through each of these subjects. I'm pretty sure this wasn't their favorite book that I've written either because it gets into some pretty hard topics to talk about. None of it's comfortable. I mean, it really isn't. So, but it's important. Just because it's comfortable doesn't mean it's bad. They're important and good questions to talk about with your children.
Your kids are now in their teens. I'm wondering, have your kids asked different questions than you did at their age?
Well, you know, one question that they didn't ask, and I didn't ask either, but one question that I think has to be dealt differently than when I was growing up is the issue of pornography, especially in Christian homes. I think we think not our kid, surely not our kid. And the statistics are that before the age of 18, 92% of boys and 64% of girls will have viewed a pornographic image either on accident or on purpose by the time they're 18. They've seen it. So it's very naive and almost dangerous for Christian parents to think, oh, we don't have to deal with that. I've heard of stories of some kids that were at the dentist. A mom had taken her son, 7-year-old son, to the dentist, and a bunch of kids were over in the corner, and it looked like they were playing on an iPod. And so the little boy went over, and they were actually viewing pornography in the dentist office on an iPod. And so her son at age 7 saw pornography and came back over and told her. I've heard of kids seeing it at church. You know, all across the board, kids are seeing it, whether they mean to or don't mean to, and they may very well mean to. It's so accessible right now. So that wasn't a conversation I had ever had with my children, but you better believe that that my mom had with me or my parents had with me, but you better believe I have had that conversation with my boys and with my daughter, who's 11. I've had the conversation with her. Talk to her about what is pornography, what are the dangers of pornography, how is it dangerous not just for you but for the people that you're viewing? It's dangerous for them. A lot of them are sex slaves. They are enslaved. They could be enslaved to drugs, and this is how they make a living, so you're supporting their habit. Just going through the myriad of difficulties for those people as well. They're image bearers also, and so when you view them, you're using them. And so that's a conversation that I would encourage. It's a difficult, it's an embarrassing, it's an uncomfortable conversation. And a lot of parents might think, oh, I don't want to bring it up because they're probably not thinking about it. No, they are. The statistics tell us that they are thinking about it, or they have seen it, or they have heard about it. So that's a conversation that needs to happen whether your kids ask or not. I can tell you when I brought it up to my 13-year-old, he was thrilled. No, he wasn't. It was uncomfortable for both of us, but it was necessary. And we've revisited the conversation multiple times.
And you do, I mean, there is one of the questions I was going to ask. If there's, you know, is it better to address issues before they come up as questions, or does it have to be sort of top of mind for them to want to know? So.
Well, I think with this question, it needs to be addressed. Kids aren't going to ask you about this. I mean, most children won't, because there comes with it an element of shame, and they know that. So even if a kid has accidentally viewed it and then has become addicted to it, here's another quick story. I have a friend who, when she was 13 years old, grew up in a very, very conservative home, conservative Christian home, and felt like she couldn't talk to her parents about sex. So instead of asking them, she knew it was not to be talked about. So instead of asking them, she Googled it and ended up developing an 8-year addiction to pornography. This is a 13-year-old girl. Okay, that blows our brains because we don't think of it in that way. We think, oh, maybe some 16, 17-year-old boy is going to have trouble with it. But no, this is a 13-year-old young girl who was curious about what sex was and didn't feel comfortable talking to her parents. So, Googled it, 8-year addiction. All that again to say is, this is a topic you don't wait for them to talk about. There are other topics you do need to wait for them to talk about. It's important to wait because there are other topics that they may not actually be thinking about. You know, demons, for instance. They may not be thinking about that. And then you would wait for them to start a conversation about that. But with this has got sort of this element of shame or hiding where they won't talk about it. And so this is that's a topic you need to bring up. Sexual sin is a topic you need to bring up with your children, whereas demons may not be.
Talking today with Jessica Thompson, we're talking about the wonderful resource called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. Subtitle is Helping Them Understand Loss, Sin, Tragedies, and Other Hard Topics. We'll get into questions like, you know, why do people die and why do people get divorced? And what does the Bible say about difficult Bible stories and those things? Jessica Thompson speaks at women's conferences and homeschooling conferences. She's co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, and we're honored to have her back here with us on Connecting Faith. Do have a copy of the book to give away and would love to have you join the conversation. Maybe there has been some, you're wondering how to start a conversation with your kids or grandchildren, or maybe have a story to tell about how it was important that you talked with your parents about some of those important issues. Love to have you join in with us. It's 877-93-FAITH, the number 877-933-2484, and we'll continue with Jessica Thompson in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. It's 17 past the hour, and talking today about some of the tough questions that your kids will ask if they haven't already, and how we can respond. That clearly presents the gospel in our conversation. Jessica Thompson has co-authored this wonderful book called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick. Elise has written some 20 books. Jessica has gotten the bug and has written several. In fact, they co-authored a great resource here a couple of years ago called Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus. And this Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions comes from Bethany House as well. Jessica with us today. We've got a copy to give away at 877-933-2484. That's the way to sign up for one. We'll do the drawing at the end of the hour. And if you have a question, too, we'd love to have you join the conversation. Jessica, you start at the beginning of the book. The first issue you deal with is sin. And thinking maybe that's important that we start with that right away as well, because that really sets the foundation for the rest of the conversation.
It absolutely does. So we kind of have a paradigm in the book, and that paradigm that you can talk through any of their toughest questions, any question your kid has for you, you can take it right through this paradigm, and that is creation. We start with creation. So how did God intend this certain aspect of life to be, whatever it is? And then the fall. So then what happened? Why are things not the way God intended them to be? And that in that, we talk a lot about sin. And then we have redemption. So we never want to leave our kids there, right? We never want to leave them with, oh, sin, and it's horrible, and, you know, you're awful. Never leave your children there. Never leave yourself there, actually. Always take yourself to that next step of redemption. What has Christ done to redeem a sinner? How has Christ shown his love for the sinner? How has Christ's love changed the sinner? And then consummation or glorification. How will it be in the new heavens and the new earth? How does Christ's redemption change life for us? So in the sin chapter, and that is a good chapter, and probably a lot of parents, I would think, have talked to their children about sin. But what I think is important that we touch on in that chapter is sin's not just something you do, right? Sin's not just, oh, I sinned today because I lied. No, sin is a much deeper problem than that. Because if we think, oh, I sinned today because I lied, then we think, I can stop sinning by stop lying. I don't really need Jesus. Kids need to know the desperate situation they're in. They need more than just behavior modification. They need more than just to stop lying. They need someone to pay the debt for their sin, to pay the debt for a life that's drenched in sin, sins that we don't even know we're committing. A nature that is, we are by nature sinners. They need someone to come in and change that for them. And that's, so what we talk about in that chapter is if you build a deep theology of sin, like sin is serious. It's not just stop lying. Sin is a very serious issue. If you build a deep sense of sin, then in turn you have a deep appreciation for your Savior, for what he's done for you. So often I think Christian children grow up thinking, you know, if I'm just good, then everything's okay. And you don't really even need Jesus if you're good. And there's a lot of Christian kids that are good out there that don't know they're actually desperate for a Savior. They're whitewashed tombs with rotting bones on the inside because they rely on their own goodness. So in that chapter, we talk about sin is more than just what you do. It's actually who you are. You need someone to come in and change who you are in your personhood, and that is Jesus Christ and what he's done for us.
I'm thinking if we haven't lived or grown up in a grace-based home, that mm-hmm. maybe the language seems foreign. So maybe mm-hmm. what would you recommend for maybe kind of helping us see the world through the covering of grace? Is it just to keep sort of hanging on to that story again, creation, fall, redemption, consummation? Is that the key?
Well, yeah, and I think for us adults, we so often, if we can get to the end of our day and think, oh, I did a good job today, then I'm okay. So that okayness, we're finding our righteousness in what we do. And we, a lot of times we force our kids to find their okayness or their righteousness in what they do. So if you acted in a good way today, Billy, then you're a good boy. Now, listen, they need much more than to act okay. They need the goodness of another over their life. So how do we apply that to our lives every day? We remember the gospel. We talk to our kids about Jesus and their need for a Savior. And we talk a lot about that in our book, Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus Christ. Our kids, ourselves, we all need to be dazzled with Christ's love for sinners. And I think that's an important thing to do in our parenting.
Jessica Thompson's with us today. We're talking about answering your kids' toughest questions, helping them understand loss, sin, tragedies, and other hard topics. You're welcome to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. You may have a question you'd like to just submit in writing. You can do that at myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. You can send your question in that way at myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith. I'm wondering childhood questions tend to center around several larger themes. Mm-hmm. And, as parents, I mean, I think I had my kids would sort of accuse me of repeat sermons. Oh, there's answer 13, here's sermon 25. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how do we stay out of pat answers if our kids seem to maybe keep coming back to the same questions?
Yeah. Well, listen, and my kids do this to me all the time. I pretty much have one answer, and that's Jesus Christ. And so if they accuse me of only talking about Christ, then I'm going to say yes and amen. And for the rest of my life, that's all I want to talk about. And so what I want to do in each of our answers is, again, know your kids, know how to talk to them, but always bring it back to what Christ has done for them. So in some ways, I think it's a good thing for them to hear over and over and over and over again. In my own life, in my own heart, I need to hear the gospel, what Christ has done for me, that he forgives me and that he loves me and that he welcomes me. Please tell me that every day, multiple times a day, because if I don't hear that, I'm lost. And for our children, too, as they ask these questions, they need to know that a biblical worldview covers everything. Right? It's not just about, oh, be good and here's a couple quick answers. We can talk about anything, the really difficult things, natural disasters. We can talk about sin. We can talk about the devil. We can talk about divorce. We can talk about anything going back to this beautiful book that God's given us, his word to us. We can use that, and it actually does apply to everything in our lives that are of heart matters, that are of important matters, we can use that book. He's given it to us. It's his word.
Well, let's dive in and talk about some of those things. We'll go to Terry, who's listening in on in Chaska, listening to Faith 900, and talking to us today with Jessica Thompson. You have a question about something to tell your five-year-old. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes. Thank you, everyone. Jessica, bless your heart, you and your mom writing this book, because it's going to help me answer questions I get from a five-year-old. Mm-hmm. January this year, end of January, I lost my sister, and she took her life at the age of 45. And I was gone for about 2-3 weeks helping my mom with the funeral arrangements. And I still have not told my daughter. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't asked, which kind of, you know, listening to the program, it's one of those where do I address it before it comes up or do I wait? Mm-hmm. We lost our dog about a year ago. And she still talks about, you know, our dog going to heaven. And okay. She still talks about that. She brought it up last night. So I know she's still very fragile with that. And I'm really concerned of, I don't want to get into the details of how my sister took her life to my daughter. But is it something, you know, I don't want to wait because I don't want her to be upset with me that, hey, Dad, why did you not tell me about my aunt?
Right. Good. She knows that. First of all, let me say I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Does she know that she passed away? That she know that she has died, or no? She doesn't know anything.
She doesn't. My wife told her that Daddy's going down to help Grandma. Grandma needed some help, and that was pretty much where we left it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jessica, we have a couple minutes before the break, so we can start now. And if we have to follow up, we'll do that after the break. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, if she didn't have a close relationship with her, I don't know how important it is to talk about the, obviously the details of it for a five-year-old would be too much to bear. We do have a section that talks about suicide in the book. There is a section in there specifically on suicide. So I would think giving her just a brief, your aunt died. Was she a Christian?
I don't know.
Okay. I mean, you could tell her that if she asks about it. If she had any sort of relationship with her, I think the fair thing would be to tell her that she's gone. You don't have to go into detail at all. I think that would probably be a lot for her. You could ask her and just say, do you have any questions about that or any questions about death? I'd love to talk to you. But it sounds like if you're going through the death of the dog, that she might have some idea about what that means and what that looks like. But then letting her know would probably be a good thing if she had a relationship with her. If it's not someone she knows about or thinks about, that's something completely different. But if it is someone she had a relationship with her, it would probably be wise to just give her a short, aunt whoever did die, and if you have any questions, let me know and we can talk through them together. And let her lead that conversation. But do tell her, I would think, if she had a relationship with her.
Okay. We'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about that, because I'd like Jessica's perspective on maybe answers for a younger child versus an older one. You might have a question, maybe some of the tough questions your kids are dealing with. Give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Jessica Thompson is our guest today. It's 32 past the hour, and talking today with Jessica Thompson. Great to have her back with us here on Faith Radio. Jessica speaks at women's conferences and homeschooling conferences. She's co-authored Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus with her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, and has another book actually coming out here soon. We'll have her back on and talk about that one. This one that her and her mom, Elise, have co-written called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions, and it provides helping them understand loss, sin, tragedies, and other hard topics. And, you know, you may have a five-year-old asking about, a dying grandma or maybe, dying aunt. We took Terry's question about that. different ages require maybe different responses. Is there are there some distinguishing characteristics, Jessica, about if you're answering a younger child versus an older one?
Yeah. Well, what I think is super helpful in the book is what we've done is for each of these topics, we have taken three different views. We've done a how do you talk to a preschooler, how do you talk to a 5 to 10-year-old, and then how do you talk to like 10 or 11 and up, I think. And, yeah, obviously, again, you're going to have to know your kid because I can talk to my oldest when he was 5 in a very mature way. He understood things. He got things. He just had that kind of a brain. Whereas with my youngest daughter, maybe I can't talk to her that way. She experiences some learning difficulties, some learning disabilities, and I have to tailor the conversation to her. So, yes, with a younger child, you're going to have to go all you're going to want to do is try and hit a few brief points, things that you think are very important. Just the most important things about what you're saying, tell them that. And then as they get older, you can go into more detail. And, you know, with a teenager, talking to them like an adult, just like you'd sit down and talk to an adult, trying to use words maybe that they'd understand a little bit better. But into a ton of detail. You know, you can have a 15, 20, 30-minute conversation with them, where with a preschooler, you're lucky to get in 5 sentences that they listen to. So, yes, we do talk about that in the book, what's appropriate for these different age groups. And we did talk to a lot of educators when we did that, some psychiatrists when we did that. What do these kids, what can they understand? Because obviously, you know, something with death, a preschooler, you know, they see death all around them. They walk outside and step on a bug and know that bug is dead. But they don't have a realistic picture of death. What they have is, you know, on cartoons, someone dies and gets wings and an angel halo and flies up to heaven, something like that. That's kind of the picture they have in their head. Where you can talk, it's not very concrete with younger children. Where with older kids, I can talk to them and say with my older kids, look, this person is dead, and here's what that means for us. Here's what that means for them. Recently, in the past, I think it's been almost 2 years now, my grandmother died, and I can remember the phone call. I was on my way up to see her. They knew she was about to go. And my mom called me and said, you need to get up here right away. So I crammed all my kids in the car. I was going to drop them off at a friend's house and drive up. And by the time I got all the kids in the car, and most parents understand this one, it had been about 5 or 10 minutes and it was too late. She had already passed. And I remember getting that phone call and sitting in the car and thinking, first of all, for myself, I was heartbroken. But then thinking, how am I going to talk to my kids about this? Because they adored her. And, you know, having that conversation with them, the good thing about this book is, even I think most parents don't think that, oh, I'll get to that when I need it. I'll get to that when they ask me the question. But I think it's so important to have these answers in your mind before you get there. Because in that moment of tragedy, I didn't want to have to think through my theology. I didn't want to have to think through, okay, what does the Bible say? How do I know? I needed to have those answers there for me already. So, yeah, there are different ways to talk to kids. And how I talked to my daughter, who at that point I think was 10 or 9, was really different than how I talked to my son, who was 15. Yeah, know your children, know how to talk to them. And, you know, you have to keep their interest. So, and you have to speak in terms that they understand.
Do we tend to maybe over-answer or under-answer when it comes to, I mean, maybe the more difficult the question, the less we say, or we say too much?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny. Yes, we do both, and we do them constantly. There is no parent that has a perfect answer all the time. I think it's important to let your child create an environment where your kids feel like they can ask you questions. That's huge. Don't shame them for their questions. Don't, you know, if your kid comes to you with a question that they've been thinking about and you don't know the answer, I think a lot of times parents feel this fear. Like, I got to get this just right. I got to not over answer. I got to not under answer, because their salvation rides on me answering this question just right. We may not actually say those words, But I know I feel that in my heart. I feel that fear. Like, I've got to get this just right. I don't want to misrepresent what the Bible says. I want to make sure my theology is right on point. Listen, God uses mess-ups constantly. If he didn't, he would have nothing to use. So in your answers, it's important to know the right way to answer, yes. But also the most important part of that is trust God to use you. Trust God to use you. And if you don't know an answer to a question, be honest. Tell your child that. You know, honey, I don't really know the answer to that right now. Let me get back to you. Let me research that and get back to you. Instead of making something up, or, you know, we always laugh. If someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer, if you just make up an answer and you speak really loud and like you have a lot of conviction about what you're saying, they'll believe you. And that's not what we want to do with our kids. Let's be humble and tell them when we don't know an answer, and then let's research it. And if we have doubts, even share those doubts with your kids. I know, saying, this is hard to believe. Like, for instance, when I see a natural disaster on TV or someone goes into a school and shoots children, and my kids ask me about it, that's tough to say the right answer, which is, you know, I know for a fact, I believe that God works all things together for his good, for our good and for his glory. To say that in that moment is really difficult, because even in my own heart, I'm struggling with that. And I think it's important for parents to admit that struggle to their kids so they don't see you as some superhero of the faith that they can never live up to. What they see you as is a sinner who is saved and forgiven and in need of as much grace as they need.
Well, let's jump into another, you know, we've just sort of touched on natural disasters, but there's other issues that I'm sure probably come up as much as any, and that has to do with probably people's sexual preferences.
Yeah.
Just even young kids say, well, it's okay to, you know, we can play dolls and we can have two mommies.
Right.
I mean, how do you respond to those issues?
Yeah, and that's another one that you've got to start being proactive on, where maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, it wasn't as prevalent as it is right now. My son is in middle school, and just a public middle school here locally. We're in Southern California, and there are more than a handful of children in that school, middle schoolers, who are out and out just homosexuals and wear it proudly. And we're talking about kids that their sexuality hasn't even really formed yet, but they have decided at this point that that's what they're going to do. So, yes. And recently we had out here a proposition, and there were signs everywhere to whether or not to legalize gay marriage. And I had to talk to my kids about it. So, yeah, we need to be proactive with our children on that one. And you know what I want to say to my daughter, who saw two men, we were at Disneyland and saw two men kissing in line. And what I want to say to her is, baby, that's a sin. Just like any other sin is a sin. They see something that they think is going to make them happy and fulfilled. So, for instance, do you know when you know you're not supposed to take that candy from mommy? You know where my secret stash is that I try to hide continually, different places so no one gets to it. You know where my secret stash is, and you know when you go in there and you take that, it's wrong, but you do it anyway because you think it's going to make you happy. Okay, well, it's just that. It's that simple, really. They're doing something that they think is going to bring them joy and happiness and fulfillment, when in actuality, God promises them something better. So what I don't want to do with my kids when talking to them about homosexuality or people being gay is I don't want them to feel like they should never be around a gay person, that they should shame them, that somehow they're different, they're worse than. I don't want to do that. What I want to build into them is Jesus is big enough to save whoever, whenever, which is how he has saved you too. Build a bigger picture of Jesus than making the sin to be out to be like the worst sin that's ever been. I think the church has done a poor job of that. Jesus says that he welcomes sinners. I mean, the religious people, the way they insulted Christ was to call him a friend of sinners. You know, he hung out with prostitutes, which is kind of a sanitized word to us at this point when we're talking about Jesus. But really think about that. Who did Jesus Christ hang out with? If if Jesus was a friend of sinners, and that's what we want to do, then we should be welcoming gay people into our congregations and into our homes and loving on them the way that Christ has loved on us. So in that specific thing, yeah, we want to tell them creation. How did God intend this to be? Fall. What happened? How did that change? Now we have a skewed view on what makes us happy and what sexuality looks like and what God intended. Redemption. But you know what, baby? God can save and does save anybody and everybody. And you know what? Someday, everything will be made right, even in our sexuality. And of course, that conversation is different for a 5-year-old versus a 16-year-old. But talking to our 16-year-olds about, you know, everybody's broken sexually. There is no sexually whole person. There only was ever one, and it was Christ. But the beautiful thing is now, if you believe and you trust in him as your Savior, you have his perfect record. And anybody who experiences any sexual sin can have his perfect record of being sexually perfect and forgiven before a holy God. And I feel like that's an important thing to have, important part of that conversation to have with your children.
We're talking about answering your kids' toughest questions, helping them understand hard topics like loss, sin, tragedies, and more. We do have a couple of copies, actually, the book. We found a couple of copies to give away here, and we'd love to do that, to get a copy in your hands. You can sign up for it. We do a drawing at the end of the show at 877-933-2484. It's a way to sign up for that. And you may have a question or a comment or maybe a reaction to something you've heard from our guest today, Jessica Thompson. Jessica and her mother, Elise Fitzpatrick, have co-written this great book. It's a powerful reminder that there is hope in the midst of some of these hard questions that we need to review, and it comes back to Jesus and understanding his grace again and again. Jessica and Elise have written, Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, and this one as well, Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. We'll talk more with Jessica in just a moment. Invite you to join the conversation at 877-933-2484. Or if you want to drop us a note, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can use the email link right there, and we'll get to your questions and comments coming up.
I'll be by your side where at dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you.
46 past the hour, talking today with Jessica Thompson about her great resource called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions. It's from Bethany House. Jessica and her mom, Elise Fitzpatrick, have co-written this fine work, as she has also written to Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus, which is recommended reading as well. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you'd like to ask a question or share a comment or sign up for a copy of the book. I'm wondering, Jessica, is there a way that we can, I guess, keep working through some of these answers? They're not just sort of pat answers, but really help our kids own their faith. I mean, we hear so many statistics about that, well, yeah, I grew up, in church, and they said, oh, don't worry about that or whatever. Didn't answer my questions, and so when I got out my own, I started asking and walked away.
Right. Yeah, I mean, with the Internet these days, I sound like an old lady. With the Internet these days, you have to be able to talk to your children, 'cause they will Google. And they will try to find answers. They really don't even need to talk to you anymore. Where I feel like maybe back in the day when I was a child, there was no other resource. I mean, unless you're going to go to Encyclopedia Britannica and search. there's everything on the Internet. So, yeah. And I think asking your children, so maybe you've had a conversation about sexual identity and what that looks like and how God intended it. You know, asking them, if that conversation has already come up, ask them a month later, hey, you know, I was wondering, do you have any other questions about that for me? Do you disagree with me in any way? Do you think that maybe what I told you was wrong in any way? Have you thought about it? And open that up. And then if they do disagree with you, again, it's not this sort of shaming them into believing what you believe, but trying to explain it to them. And if they don't understand, then praying for them. Now, Paul Miller, in his wonderful book, A Praying Life, said he found out that he did his best parenting by prayer. and talks about how it was actually ended up being really relaxing for him. He started talking less to his children and more to God. And that's a good model for this. So as we go through these conversations, praying, Holy Spirit, give me the words to say here that make Jesus beautiful. Give me truth to speak into this situation. And then trusting him with the results, because I think when our kids disagree with us or they don't see things the way that we want them to see them, I know in my own life that creates a fear and an anger and a worry. And none of those are the fruit of the Spirit. What I can do when I can see that they disagree with me instead of trying to bully them into believing me is just say, you know what, baby, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that you understand it better. I'm going to pray that I understand it better. And maybe we can talk about this again in a couple months.
The topics, you know, ranging from you know, Satan and demons to to violence, divorce, all those things. Was there one that maybe chapter or topic more difficult to write than some of the others for you?
Yeah. I mean, the sexual sin one was very difficult because I think it was an eye-opener for me. I didn't have really any idea what was going on out there. And then I think the chapter on demons and Satan was also disturbing. It's not something I wanted to think about for weeks or a month as I wrote that chapter. But here's the beautiful thing, right? That's not the end of our story. These terrible things that are part of a sin-cursed world are not the end of our story. We have something so much better coming for us. We have something so much better waiting for us right now, where there will be no more tears, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death, no more Satan, no more destruction, no more chaos. We will just be with him for an eternity of happiness and joy. And that's something else we need to tell our kids. What you see here isn't all there is. There is more coming for us, baby.
You, in fact, I love how you talk about, you know, really the foundation is knowing that the God that we serve is the God who sees. I mean, he's acquainted.
Yeah.
He's acquainted with our weaknesses. Just say more about that.
Yeah. I mean, what do you love to hear when you're in the middle of something difficult? I see and I understand. Like when someone comes alongside you and you're in the middle of not understanding something or you're in the middle of a really hard circumstance, when someone comes and puts their arm around you and says, gosh, I understand, and they really do understand, they've been through it themselves, I understand what you're going through, I see the pain that you're in. We love that, and it's so good to hear. But here's the really amazing thing. Jesus Christ, God the Son, came to earth and experienced all these things we experience. He knew what it was like to be around people who were broken sexually. He knew what it was like to be betrayed and lied about. He knew what it was like to have to leave family. He knew what it was like to experience death. Right at Lazarus' tomb, he doesn't just like look around and say, stop crying, everybody, I don't know what your problem is. No, he wept. He experienced the emotion of death. He saw it. And then he says it to us in Hebrews, what we read about Christ is we don't have a high priest who doesn't sympathize. No, he's able to understand our weaknesses in every way. And we can tell our kids that, listen, baby, here's the really cool news. Jesus Christ understands, and he hurts with us, and he feels for us. And more than that, he's praying for you right now. And that is good news. I need to hear that. You need to hear that. Our kids need to hear that every day.
I was, you know, thinking as you're talking about that, how, you know, many of us as parents, like I said, need to hear that, the reminder again of God's grace and his mercy to help us in our time of need. I mean, how valuable that is as we try and go through the, you know, difficult, you know, we can't figure out, you know, evil in the world either many times.
Yeah, no, it's hard, right? But Jesus Christ came and experienced that and saw that. He felt the pain of evil. He felt the pain of ungodly rulers. He felt the pain of seeing friends die. He felt it all. The Bible says he was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And so the amazing thing, the beautiful thing about that is he is El Roi. He sees us. He sees you right now. He feels for you. You know, a lot of times I think, okay, yeah, he came, and but he did it all perfectly, right? So he must look at me and think, get your act together. I did it. Now you do it. And that's never his disposition towards us. The Bible tells us over and over again that he gives grace to those who need him, that he pours his love and blessing out on them. I mean, think of Thomas, doubting Thomas. He's Jesus has died and rose from the grave, and Thomas is like, I don't believe. I just don't. You know, unless I feel your hands, unless I stick my finger right there, I'm not going to believe. You know, and if I was Jesus, I would have been like, you know, then you lose. Tough. But no, Jesus condescends once again, shows him the scars, says, touch me, know, see. He never treats us as our sins deserve. He just doesn't. Those in his family, he doesn't treat as their sins deserve. He took all the punishment for our sins, and what he gives us is blessing and grace instead.
Jessica, we got a few minutes left. One of the areas that you address is, you know, we can talk about troubling stories or circumstances, but it's another thing to talk about troubling stories in the Bible. Say a word about that.
Yeah. So there's some pretty crazy Bible stories out there. I mean, not stuff you want to share with your four-year-old, for sure, maybe even your 14-year-old. But here's what I love about this book that we have. It's not some glossy, pretend, fake, utopian, everything turns out okay book. What it is it's real. It's gritty. God speaks to the real dirtiness of life, and he comes to us and he says, I have a solution. It's my son. He will make you clean. He can forgive you. So we don't have a sanitized book here. We've got something real, and that speaks to all of life for us. It can speak into any situation for us because we know that we're not dealing with something fake. We've got real people in here with real sin, with a real Savior who have experienced real forgiveness.
And we have time for another maybe response. Kim, listening in Faith 1270 in South Dakota, says, how can I talk to my grandkids about this issue? The other set of grandparents have a lot of money and lavish them with gifts, but we don't do the same thing. How can I approach this without making our grandkids feel bad?
Yeah, I mean, if they're asking you, why don't you spend money on us, you can talk to them about how there's so much, there's more than material. There's so much more than what we see here. We have a better gift to give. Love is a better gift to give. And not dissing the other people, talking about, hey, if they can give that way, that's great for them. Here's how we choose to give. We're going to give you our love. We're going to give you our time. We're going to give you ourselves. And doing it that way so that it's not, oh, they're doing it wrong and we're doing it right, but here's how we're doing it, and here's the benefit of the way we're doing it.
Yeah, I think, as it said, it always comes back to our understanding of our sin nature and our all of us in need of grace every day, all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to live in the light of that every single day, preaching the gospel to ourselves, remembering what he's done for us, and letting that grace exude into every conversation. It just has to. But let me say this. It won't. You will fail as a parent. You won't be able to talk to your kids. You'll forget. You'll be impatient. You'll be angry. You won't want to talk about these topics. In your parenting failures, there's forgiveness of sins. And as you think about what Christ has done for you and loved you and how he's forgiven you of all your impatience towards your kids, what that's going to do is create in your heart a desire to love your children. It's going to create in your heart a desire to be patient with your children because he has been overwhelmingly patient with you. So for parents out there listening, I mean, my message is it's not all up to you to get these answers just right. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do a work, to use faulty words, to use impatience in your own heart, to use weakness, to use fear, and ask him to use all of that to bring himself glory. He promises to do that. He loves your kids more than you ever will, more than you could ever even imagine. And ask him to use you in whatever way he chooses to be fit.
You'll find encouragement. It's a great resource from Jessica Thompson and her mom, Elise Fitzpatrick, have co-written this wonderful book called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions, Helping Them Understand Loss, Sin, Tragedies, and Other Hard Topics. Elise and Jessica has also co-written Give Them Grace, Dazzling Your Kids with the Love of Jesus That Could Transform Your Parenting and Your Life. I recommend that one as well. Jessica speaks at women's conferences, homeschooling conferences, and she's married with three children. lives in Southern California. You can find out more at the website givethemgrace.com. Check that out, givethemgrace.com. Jessica, great to have you back with us, and
Thank you. Blessings to you. Thank you.
If you missed part of today's program or like to pass it on to a friend, we post the podcast on the website. You go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page for details.